And I say, I have, and I really mean this, I've really, really loved her. I really loved her. I'm asking her to ask this one again. It feels like, to be like 20 again. Oh, my goodness. And it just, you guys had such an amazing part of your lives, you know. And my life turned pretty much where you guys are now. Everything changed for me, and an entirely new course was set. I think, I hope that in coming into our gravity, coming into our what we're building, what we're doing, that your life will be changed forever. That each one of you has some unique thing that God has for you to do, that He made you for, you know. And I think so often we live lives and we can have success in the marketplace, that's not a bad thing, and we can have all these things, we can do well in sport and all these different things and get the glory of men and the accolades of men, but actually at the end of our lives think, what was that all about? But to live for eternity, to find that thing that He made you for, and to step into it and to take a hold of it is really the pinnacle of being what it means to be human. That my life has, and I've come to know God, and that my life is bringing Him glory. And I was going to share a whole lot of notes. I'm actually going to share a little bit of my story.
Pretty good.
You guys are 1988, I matriculated. In those days, it just wouldn't have boarded to for 2 years. And I said competitively, I should have got a sports pass. And if you got a sports pass in those days, you had a fun 2 years. But if you didn't, you could end up who knows where. And my call was Kimberley Maintenance. And I was a beach bum. I lived for the beach. My life was surfing. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to Kimberley. 2 years. It's like a suck there. So it was either that or study. And so I didn't know what to do, and I'm sure many of you can remember that feeling of, okay, my trick's done, what now? And I came to Stellenbosch to do a test, what should you do? I wasn't a Christian. And they said, you should either be a lawyer, I forget the other one now, I spoke to a lady, what is it? Quantity surveyor, thank you. Or a priest. So I figured law sounded the best, and I went, the only place that didn't accept me, my marks went great, I had pretty much lived for certain. So UP, which is on the coast, and I was like, stoked. I went up to Jabez down the road, and at that time, my understanding of Jesus, of God, I'd been brought up in an Anglican church, traditional church. My parents were really good people. And, you know, they forced us to go to Sunday school and all the stuff that many of us had to do. I think as I grew up, I looked at this thing called Christianity, and to be honest, it just felt fake to me. Just, the older I got, the more I looked at people that were supposed to be these Christians, and they just seemed like hypocrites. And so, you know, in my teens, I started kind of figuring Christianity probably was just some weird man-made up religion, and I turned my back, not that I wasn't a true follower of Jesus, but I just decided, this is not for me, I'm going to try and find my life. And surfing was becoming a big deal to me. The ocean, I love extreme sports, I always have, and the ocean grabbed me like no other thing grabbed me. And my life was going to be surfing. I was competitive, I did well, and I was like, but it was never about competitions for me, because it's never been about, I've never really cared much what people thought. I just love the feeling of riding this piece of the ocean that has come from who knows where. And hunting for that next perfect one and the next perfect one. So my life, pretty much, you know, PE when I got there, there was no one telling me to do lectures, no one telling me to do anything. I'd been in boarding school for part of my school, so freedom, I was like, woo! And I was in a boys only school, so there were girls surfing and no one telling me what to do. It was a wild first year. I went off the deep end of partying and girls and nightclubs and surf by day and hunted at night, girls. It was basically what I did. And it was just about the biggest rush. And the next moment, I failed my first year outright. I think I got 5%. But the army was waiting, and so I didn't want to go to the army. So I promised my dad, please give me another chance. I had to get a student loan. And I was going to do better, a bit better this year. And the beginning of my second year, right near the start of, you know, starting this whole process, I had been invited by a friend of mine. He's actually one of our pastors. He spoke recently on one of our web things, Joey Callahan, who leads Sunnydale PM congregation. And Joey was this incredibly cool surfer.
We all had equal length and longer.
Joey was just this incredibly cool, good looking, like just this kind of guy that everyone wishes like as a surfer, like when I grew up, I'm like him. And we just connected. And we just started surfing every day. And the one day I arrived at his house, and I remember him saying to me, he's some guys that friends of us had done marijuana in his house. And you know, he'd never tried it. But it kind of looked quite interesting what they did. So have I ever tried it? I've never tried it. I figured drugs were for total losers, and I mean, I didn't need drugs like the ocean. And but he said it was really like there was something like weird that happened. Why don't we just try it once? And I remember thinking, I'm always getting pushed up here as a surfer. We were in the surfing's cool now. In our day, we were the non-conformists. Like, basically, today everyone looks like surfers. In our day, if you surfed, you didn't admit that to your girlfriend's parents because they were going to the end of them ever see you again. Because all surfers would drop out of dragons. So it's like, I've not done that and I'm not going to do that. But I figured, let's just try it. Just once. I mean, it's not supposed to be addictive. Physically, it's not like heroin or one of those things, so why don't we just give it a go? And like, it's like that, it wasn't for me. So we drove to this township, you know, break even law, and it was driving back, and every white car era was narcotics, and it was terrifying. And we got to his house, and I remember we put Bob Marley on, we thought, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Tape decks in those days before CDs and all that. And I remember sitting down, and he rolled it like a cigarette. I'd never seen this before. And, yeah, you know, passed me, and we started smoking the first one, and obviously, cough, and then you're eventually holding it in, and you've got to hold it in your lungs, because that's how the THC, the ingredient in it, kind of works. And I remember finishing the first one, and I thought, this is a waste of time. Like, I didn't feel anything. Like, why does anyone do this? And I'm just coughing my lungs out. And I said, well, let's try another one. And I figured, okay, let's try another one. And I remember we were halfway through the second one, and I took a hit. And I passed it to him, and I was sitting on his bed in a little room, and I was looking at the floor, and he had this old, grainy kind of carpet that I don't know if it's in his room. I remember looking at the carpet, and suddenly Bob Marley sounded like I'd never heard Bob Marley sound. That was the first thing. I remember just feeling like, oh my goodness, it feels like I can feel what these guys are, like I can feel their emotions as they play, like it's coming through the music, and I was just like, whoa, what is this experience? And then I was staring at the carpet and I went into a trance. Bang, which you're not supposed to do with marijuana. Normally, most guys with marijuana just get very stoned and mellow and chilled and feel nice. But we actually went into this trance, both of us, independently. And I didn't know that because I was in my own experience. And basically, what happened was I was suddenly standing on what were green hills, but if you see pictures of Ireland or one of those places, kind of green Roman grass hills as far as I could see. And I was standing in one, and I was the only person in this vision, like, there. There was no one else. And I remember realizing at some point there was some significance to what I'm experiencing. I don't know what it is. And I'm standing on this hill, and above me, this cloud starts to form, and there's nothing else around me. So I'm just looking at the cloud, and the cloud opens, and I'd been brought up with, I knew about Greek mythology and those things, and the Greek god Zeus, this old, kind of white beard. Do you know what he looks like? I'm sure you guys do. It looked like him. It was this being in this cloud. And I'm looking at this and thinking, oh, goodness. Like, this must be God, because I've never experienced anything like this. And he held out his hand, looked down at me. I remember he had a look of love in his eyes, and he appreciated me. And he held out his hand, and a little dove flew down, a little brown dove flew down, landed at my feet. And a twig in its mouth, and I remember put the twig down, so I was talking to him, and I was like, whoa! And this is what it said. It said to me, all your life, you've been searching for God. There's been something inside you knowing there's more to life than what you've known. Wow. And it was true. I did, deep down inside, I did feel there's more to life. I just hadn't found it. And so this little thing got my attention, and it says to me, all the other things that but now God has found you. I was like, what? Okay, so the story changes. So if you're a Christian, don't panic. Jesus does break in. But I remember just thinking, what? And then it told me that Jesus was a teaching spirit, a master spirit that had come to the earth and taught men how to live, and that I was now going to become like him. And I was going to become a good moral teacher, that I was going to find the God-man within myself. And basically it taught me what's now known as a form of Buddhism, basically, which I've never read of or ever heard of before. And I remember thinking, okay, what is this? Then it said to me, it was a long vision, it was about 3 hours. It said, don't ever do a drug worse than marijuana, or this is what will happen to you. And at that moment, I dropped out of that, and I was floating in a black void. And there was nothing I could touch. I was just helpless in space. And I remember looking at my hand, and I started lifting out of my own body, and I didn't want to lift out of my body. I was trying to stay in my body, and I was like, what's going on? And there were these little cords, like bubblegum cords, between me and my body. And the further I lifted away, the more they started bending, and they started snapping. And the faster they bent and snapped, the less control I had. And I was absolutely terrified. I remember feeling like, this is what it feels like to lose your soul. And the little dove said, if you do drug waste and marijuana, you will lose your soul. It had told me in that 3 hours that I was going to become a good person, that I was going to do good things, and that I had been chosen to do this. And when I snapped that out of this trance into the room, and it was like standing back in the room, and I looked at Joe, and I was like, Joe, you're not going to believe what I've just experienced. And he said the same words that I said at the same time, like, Andrew, you're not going to believe what I've just experienced. And I was like, what did you experience? Now at this point, I'm absolutely lucid. I'm not stoned anymore. I am back to normal. And he tells me what his experience is, exactly picture, word for word, what I've experienced, except in his vision, he was the person. And I'm thinking, okay, hang on. Like, maybe drugs you can hallucinate, so maybe, but how did he see what I saw? How did he see what I saw? The fact is that we both saw the same thing and in such a detailed experience. I remember thinking, there's got to be some other force behind this. There's got to be some person or something or some God that's trying to speak to us. And then I remember thinking, well, maybe this is the devil, because, you know, the Bible says it's the devil. Maybe this is like the devil. But then in the vision, we've been told to do good things, not bad things. I've been told don't do drugs, waste marijuana, that I'm here to seek for righteousness and all these things. And I remember thinking, surely the devil would have told me to go kill my mom or something, but not like, what to do this. So I'm thinking, what is this? I don't understand. And then I started thinking, talking to Joe, and I remember saying, Joe, what happens if this is God? What happens if Christianity is false? All these religions are false. And actually, God has broken in, and we found him today. And so what happened to us? We started. So we it was like a new door open, a new window open. And we started to get together every single day. And learned how to trance, how to basically void my mind, blank my mind. I didn't even need drugs, I didn't need to do marijuana. I'd just stare at something for long enough, and I would go into a trance, like a trip. And it was like the spiritual realm broke into the physical realm. And we would both have the same experiences. We had beings appearing to us, and I know you think I'm probably still doing drugs now, but we had beings that would appear to us. I remember once lifting out of my body, actually projecting, I could go anywhere I wanted to go. And it was just these incredible, powerful experiences. And I remember feeling more and more like, I feel like we're starting to find the God man within ourselves. That actually, all of us, this was our philosophy of life at that point, became that. That all of us have got something of God in us, and that we need to try to find that thing. And if you don't find it, you're going to eventually just die, and then you're reincarnated and get another chance. And if you're a good person, you're going to maybe get a bit of a better incarnation. A bad person, maybe a bit of a worse incarnation. And we've seen each other all lives, and I was a bird in one life, like Joey. And I was just full detail. I mean, it was detail. And then a Christian girl started visiting us. And I'm sure most of you were born Christian. No one's born Christian, so we've all had that Christian girl or that Christian guy. So it's bugging us. And this girl started bugging us. She's actually part of our church in City Hall. She actually gave me love today, years later. And she says to us, she, you know, comes and says to us, we're getting stoned, and she starts telling us about Jesus. And I'm like, man, I am Jesus. And she gave us Bibles, and she would read to us when we're getting stoned. And the weirdest thing, even had trips for what she read to us sometimes. She kept telling us that we were deceiving, that Jesus was the way. And I just thought she was just one of those narrow-minded Christians and didn't know anything. And, you know, and she didn't have the power that I seemed to have, and Joey seemed to have. So I was like, why should I listen to you? You know, you've got this theory, where's the power, where's the backing behind that theory? And but she kept coming. And eventually, Her and my girlfriend at the time, her family were Christians, and they told me over a meal that there was a lady coming to a church down the road who was an ex-spiritist. And I'm like, what's that? And they're like, no, this is a person that can connect with dead people that died. And she can call up the spirit of your dead grandfather. And if he called you Buti, you know, she was like, hey, it's me, Buti, I'm here. And so I'm kind of interested in this thing because I've never heard of it properly. So I went to church because I figured, okay, well, if this lady now says I don't know, maybe I can learn from you. So I went to the church, and I remember sitting in the back of the church when the meeting started. People were less animated than you guys were tonight, or we were tonight. They were clapping and lifting their hands, and I was like, these guys are freaky. Like, they're weird. Like, get me out of here. Like, I'm so uncomfortable. I just want to run. But I've been invited by them, and their family there, because my girlfriend's running around. And I'm like, I can't walk out, it'll be rude. So I'm sitting there through the meeting thinking, can I just get out of here? I want to go home. And then this lady gets up and she starts sharing. She's the spiritist, and she starts to share how she got involved in spiritism, which basically, and this, I'm giving you the headlines here. Basically, she explained that there's a world around us, which the Bible does talk about, that we can't see. And in that world, there are angels, there are demons, and they're on the earth. But she started her story explaining about dead people. And that actually when people die, sometimes they don't, this was her theory at the time. She became a Christian, so this was her pre-Christian theory. This is what the demons told her, the spirits told her, that they had chosen her to actually become one who would help others. And she had one spirit who was a doctor, and she'd be able to pray for people that were sick and they would get better. And so she'd call upon all these spirit beings and they would appear to her. Now, Joey and I actually started seeing spirit beings. I know many of you are looking at me like, is this for real? This was very real. Joey is a pastor, we can't lie. This was our life. This was very real. And we saw them together. I didn't even need to do marijuana to see them eventually. We were just living in a different dimension. But remember, the survival says that the angel of darkness masquerades as an angel of light.
Yeah.
And the Bible says there is a devil who's on the earth. And he has got many angels, fallen angels that are working with him. And their job, one of the chief ways they work in humanity is through deception. They come in something that looks like it's good, but then they bring a twist into it that you don't see. It's like deceptive. And so you bite into the good, but the bad part in it is what you don't see, and that's the part that kills you. And most things, that's how humanity leads the world this way. Most people go for something that they think is good, but going for something they think is good, actually there's a twist in it.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a bait of the fish is attracted to the prawn, but inside that prawn there's a hook that the fish doesn't see, and that's how it all works. And that's how he worked with us. He found a hook in me of the thing, like, what is the purpose of life? And he had used that hook and led us astray, and actually had sent his angels to us, who appeared as angels of light, to lead us astray, and gave us power, and made us think that we were something special. Suddenly we found our purpose in life, and actually he was leading us away from what God had called us to be. And so I'm listening to this lady sharing her story, and all these things are suddenly becoming real to me. Like, I've argued with Christians, and had Christians argue with me, and they never got through it, but somehow when she spoke, it was like, I just had no defense. It was like, I knew what she said was true. I knew it. Like, I knew somehow that this is the truth. I don't know how I know, but I know that this is the truth. And at the end of her preach, she shared that scripture. The angel of darkness masquerades as an angel of light. And at that point, I knew like I knew like I knew that I was hook, line, and sinker deceived. I didn't know where the deception started or finished. I didn't know what was right and wrong. I didn't know what anything was at that point. I was just knew that I was bound. And she said, if there's anyone here and you've been involved in anything like this, and they call it the occult, hidden things, you need to respond to Jesus. You need him to come into your life. You need him to set you free. And I remember sitting there listening to this. Like, I knew I needed to respond, but I looked around at the church and I was like, there's no way. There's no way I'm responding here. Like, never. And I just remember sitting there thinking, and she says, like, everyone close their eyes, bow your heads. And, you know, if there's anyone that's done this, you need to respond now. And I'm feeling my heart beating, and I'm like, but I'm like, there's no way. It's not, I'm going to happen. I'm going to walk out. I'll just stop doing drugs. I'll be fine. And I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me for the first time. And this is what he said. And when I say I heard, I didn't hear this, but I heard it inside. I knew it was him. He said this. He said, Andrew, if you don't respond to the way she's speaking to you, you will die in sin. And And I was like, whoa. Firstly, is that really you, God? Because I've had a lot of voices and a lot of things happen, and I'm really confused right now. Like, is this really you? Because I don't know. And I'm saying, if this is really you, this is the truth, this is you, Jesus, then you're going to have to put my hand up because I'm too embarrassed. And you shouldn't do this, but I did. And I was sitting there and I'm thinking, well, what's going to happen? And I felt the presence of God come up to me for the first time in my life. And I've done a lot of things at this point in my life. I had pretty much explored everything that you could want to do. I had tasted and seen a new life. And it was like the most incredible experience of God's presence. How do you explain God's presence? It's like the one who made everything, who holds everything together, who is love, breaks into your consciousness, breaks into your world, and you're sitting there, and I suddenly am conscious of the fact that God is there, and His love is there, and His acceptance of me is there, and I'm thinking, why? Like, at this point, everyone's told me I'm a sinner my whole life. I know I'm a sinner, like, I'm sitting there going, like, no one knew, I knew that I was deceived, I was broken, I was in peace, and I felt like, it felt like somebody took a pot of boiling, a warm oil, like lack of warm oil, and started pouring it into the top of my head. It's the only way I can explain it. And I felt like this warm sensation filling me up from inside, and it was the most incredible feeling that I've ever had in my life. And I was suddenly just, and as this feeling kind of filled me up, and my body started shaking, and I'm just overwhelmed at how amazing this feeling is, how amazing God is. And when it got to my hand went up by itself. And I'm like, what is going on? Seriously, what's going on? And then she said, you put your hand up. I couldn't put my hand up. My hand was stuck in the air. And then eventually I pulled it down and I sat on it to keep it down because it kept wanting to go up. And then she said, okay, so if anyone here, the people who responded, thank you for that hand. Is there anyone, if you lift your hand, you need to come to the front and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And I'm like, never. Never. Like, what, hand up is one thing. Never. I'm not doing that. There's no way I'm walking in front of these weird people. And just, there's no way. And the voice comes in, and God's voice, and says, if you don't do this, you're going to die in your sin. And I was like, okay. You got my hand up. You give me the front. Like, I don't know how you're going to do this. You're going to have to do this. And I can't do it. And I'm sweating. I've stepped away. I was taller than this building. I was scared, but I was just scared to go in front. I was terrified. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you can go in front. And that same feeling starts again. And I'm like, oh goodness, what's going to happen? Like, what's going to happen? And you see, I'm sitting there shaking in my chair. Like, and I'm thinking, my laziness of walking by this, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just sitting there thinking about the presence. And the lady can see my hand go. Walks behind, I didn't hear her coming, she puts her hand on my back and says, don't join her in the front. But as she touches my back, her hand felt like it was fire. I swear, it felt like fire, like somebody put fire on my back. And it was a lack of fire, but it was fire. And I literally screamed like a girl. I was like, ah! And I died out of my chair, and I was standing. Everyone's supposed to have their eyes closed. And I was shouting, so they all turned around and looked at me. And I'm just shouting in church. So I'm standing, and I'm like, and I remember walking to the front, and you know, it's an amazing thing when you do respond to the Lord. There were other people that responded, but I felt like I was the only one. It felt like this whole thing, it felt like everything was for me in that moment. And she looked at me, and she was very involved with, obviously, the spiritual realm, and now as a Christian, she was very in touch with the spiritual realm. And I remember she looked at me, and as I came to the front, you know, others, she looks at me like this, doesn't know who I am. Says, come out of him in Jesus' name. Yeah. And suddenly I felt black things inside of me that I didn't know were there. You see, I opened myself up to things that I was not supposed to get into. I delved into the occult, just hidden things that are forbidden in the scriptures. Yeah. I didn't know that. And I opened myself up actually to something he had actually had to feel that. I had given such access into my life. I didn't know how done it. He had hooked me so badly. I didn't know where truth and error started and finished. And she just says, come out. And I remember these black things, right? I felt them. And I remember they got to my hands, and my hands, and she grabbed me around my throat. Like, they were in my hands. and threw me onto the ground and started throttling me, like trying to squeeze the life out of me. And I remember being absolutely freaked out, like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just totally freaked out. And she says, come up, leave him alone. And these things start leaving me as I'm lying on the floor. These black things come up and they leave. Black things in my throat and they leave. And then she's finished. And leads me in this prayer. I'm seeing Jesus come into my life and to forgive me of what I've done, because I have actually been totally self-centered. I just live for me. I live for pleasure. I live for what feels good. Yeah. And the next thing I remember driving home and feeling freer than I'd ever felt in my life. Yeah. I got home and another one of my deacons, he's in Southern European congregation, his name is Nicky Carstens. He was world champ at that time, where you can see him. And he was rolling a joint in my flatmate, rolling a joint in my flat as I walked in. And I haven't thought about going to church because it's kind of not cool to say he went to church. But I walked in from that meeting and he looks at my face, doesn't know where I've been, and says, what happened to you? I said, what do you mean? He said, your face has changed, your eyes are different. I sat down with him and I said, Nicky, what we're doing is wrong. We've been deceived. Satan is a deceiver. He's leading the world astray, the Bible says. And you and I, we've been led astray. We've been led away from what's true and right. And we need God's forgiveness. We need Jesus to forgive us for what we've done, because we have sinned. The Bible says before the children. I mean, I didn't even understand how it is flowing out of you. I'm trying to explain what just happened. And I remember leading him right there on the floor to Jesus. And today he's a deacon in our church in Lumbers 30 years later in Southern Alpine. And then Joey took a week. He thought we'd lost the plot. And I managed to get into the church. Same. Powerfully cut with God, turned his life around. And today he leads one of our congregations. So I never did bad drugs, but I was so messed up in what I did. I was so self-centered, I was so broken inside, I was so messed up by just marijuana. You wouldn't believe how much marijuana can mess you up. It took me a while to stop to break free. I struggled to get out of it. I struggled to come out to that sleeping with my girlfriend. I had to break that. Because you know what it's like? You come to Jesus and he loves you. He forgives you for what you've done. And it's such a liberating experience to feel holy for the first time. And you know it's like it's a gift is given you. And suddenly, it's a bit like I've heard it said when you have really clean clothes. And a child runs out with really dirty hands and goes, you were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because, you know, normally we care, but right now, and it felt for the first time, I had begun to feel what it felt to be holy. My God is. Not that I was holy, but that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for me. And I don't deserve it. What did I do to deserve that? That God, the one who made the universe, would do that. And so there was this process of chain of thought. And I remember I knew I had stopped doing drugs, obviously. I stopped. I knew I had stopped trancing, and that took me a while because I was so accustomed to it. I knew I had to stop smoking cigarettes because I thought it. I knew I had to stop sleeping with my girlfriend for 6 months. In fact, how it's happened, I shared with the guys recently. I'm like knowing it's wrong, man, but I'm a mess. I remember thinking, God, help me to break this. I want to stop sleeping. I know I'm hurting when I do this. And I remember just falling and falling and falling and falling. And one day I remember saying this prayer, falling again. I felt so guilty again. I'd come to church every Sunday feeling like I was lost and he would have to find me again because I'd fallen so badly. And I remember one day praying this prayer, God, if I ever see the good again, please take my name out of the book of life.
Yes.
Oh, seriously. Half an hour later she laughed, and it was a matter of minutes. And I was lying next to her, just thinking, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? And God kept finding me, and I kept getting lost. I just kept messing it up. I kept getting found. Every week, I think my first year as a Christian, every week I gave my life to Jesus. I kept learning about his love. I kept learning about his acceptance. And I knew that I didn't deserve it. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I would fail. I knew that I was a mess. But every single week, it was like you finally, you love me and take me and you forgive me. Let's do this again. And I broke from you from everything except sex. Just the one thing I couldn't break. 6 months, I'm fighting this fight, and I'm losing, and I'm fighting, and I'm losing. And I heard there was a prophetic, I'm a young person, 6 months old, and there's a prophetic girl ministering in some church, Avon Church or something. And when you're a young Christian, the prophetic is like, oh, I want to get it. It's like, I want to let go. So I arrived at this church. I don't know anyone in this church. No one. I mean, I'm like, I don't know anyone. I walk up sitting in the back. This girl's ministering, a prophetic lady. She preaches about prophecy and she says, I feel like I've got a word for somebody. She points to me. I'm the first person she points out in this church. So I'm quite excited actually. This is kind of cool. And she got to single me out of the church and he's going to give me a prophetic word. It's my first prophetic word. And I walk to the front, everyone's sitting there watching, wishing his name until she says this. She says this. I don't know you. God showed me that you are in an adulterous relationship. And so she starts. I realized at one point as a grown Christian, I don't actually get love. I don't understand love properly, not that kind of love. So show me what love is, God, please. I remember that it was a Sunday night. I had surfed in that morning. Oh, sorry, I'd gone to church in the morning, then surfed off, and I was tired and I didn't feel like I had church that night. We used to go to church twice. And I was like, oh, I went to church this morning, and I remember saying, God, I don't feel like I'm in church tonight. And I don't even know what love is. Show me what love is. And I'll go to church tonight. And I figured out myself. I figured out what's it going to do. And the next minute, probably a Christian for about a year at this point. I haven't touched any drug, alcohol, nothing. It was like I've taken out of my body to the cross when he's crucified. And I had grown up in Anglican with pictures of Jesus with his head to one side and, you know, a little crown of thorns and a trickle of blood. That was the picture I had of the cross. I mean, you guys today, through social media and stuff, and movies like The Passion of the Christ, which if you haven't seen, you have to see, it just gives you a graphic picture of what it looked like. We had no idea. But what I saw was this. First, before the cross, I was taken into heaven, sorry. And I remember standing on one side, and as far as I could see, there were these people, angels, I don't know what, some looked like people dressed in a white, all facing to worshipping him. And I knew God was here, but I couldn't look at him for some reason. I wanted to see him. I couldn't turn my head. And they were worshipping. Holy, holy, holy. All of them facing him. Is the Lord God Almighty. And I couldn't look. And I was like, I want to see you. And then I saw this, if you throw a stone into water, you get a ripple of, like a ripple of light moving out over the congregation. And as the ripple came past me, I remember feeling like joy that I've not experienced. Like his glory was radiating who he is. And every ripple was some other attribute, some other part of what he's like. And there was this joy that I've never experienced. It hits me like a wave. And I can't stop myself, but I have to worship now. It's no longer, I want to see you. Like, I have to respond and worship. And I start worshiping, and instantly I can see him, and I turn, and Jesus is sitting on a throne, King of kings, Lord of lords. Now, that doesn't mean a lot to you and me, because we kind of empty authority and stuff. But let me just tell you, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the one who holds all things together by the power of his word. He is God. There is no other. At the end of the day, he is so powerful and so big and so glorious. And he's just radiating his glory out. And I'm just worshiping. Another way it comes, and it's like peace. The Bible says, peace that surpasses understanding. I feel the peace of God. I'm like, oh my goodness. I promise you, I'm an adrenaline junkie, and I could do that forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because there's nothing else I've ever experienced like this. And I'm just worshiping. And then I remember looking at him and seeing him look down, and below his feet there was this little tennis ball sized earth turning in space. The Bible actually says the earth is his footstool. I remember reading that later and thinking that's just kind of what it looked like. Sitting on his throne, and there's this little blob. And I realized how insignificant earth is. How insignificant everything is next to him. It's like, it's nothing. Like, what are we? We dust. You have to make God tomorrow forgotten. And then he looks at this little thing with you and me living on it. And his eyes filled with compassion. And the next thing, he gets up and he takes the crown off. He takes this purple robe of royalty that he had, and takes it off. And then I'm standing at the cross right in front of him. It's like I'm hanging in space, and he's right in front of me, his head down, saying, God, that I've just seen in glory. Head down, blood. Like I've messed myself up before, but I've never been seen anyone that messed up. Like I've never seen someone that broken. And the Bible says he was marred beyond human recognition. In other words, if you knew him on the earth, you wouldn't recognize him when he was being on the cross. That broke him, right? And it's just blood pouring out of him everywhere. And I remember he's so weak. Like, I've just seen him so powerful. And I'm so conscious of how weak he is. His lifeblood is literally draining out of him as he's hanging on the cross. He's been whipped 39 times with a whip with, like, up to 9 leather thongs with ball bearings and pieces of metal or bone on the end. So every lash that comes, 9 things come around, bruise and then hook your flesh and rip chunks out. So historians now know, tell you that sometimes a person's intestines actually fall out of his stomach when you were lashed by the Romans. They would lash it to the point that there was nothing left to hold your stomach in place. It had lacerated and torn your flesh to the point there's just nothing left. His flesh is hanging like ribbons, like you're seeing through layers and layers of his meat, of his insides sticking out. And he's just weak and dying. And I'm standing in front of the cross, and I'm like, why are you here? Like, why? Why would you let anyone do this to you? Because you are God. I've just seen you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Like, you could stop it like this. You could. I mean, he says, like, he called 12 legions of angels. They're waiting. Just say the word, and we'll sort out this planet for what they're doing to you. And yet he lets us do this to him. He offers his cheek to those who ripped out his beard. I'm thinking, why? And he lifts his head, and I can see he's suffocating, he can't breathe. He looks into my eyes and he says, Andrew, I would have come here just for you. Okay. He says, I would have come just to die for your sin. He asked me what love is. This is my love for you. And I knew that I did not deserve that. I'll never deserve that. Like, no matter what I do for the rest of my life, I will never, ever deserve it. And I snapped back into my room and I was just weeping. And I just remember falling on my knees and just saying, Jesus, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve it. Why? Why would you love me like this? I don't. And I remember saying this to him, but I'll never be able to repay you. But you want me. I'm yours. The rest of my life is yours. I know that I'm going to repay you, but you won't. And that started me on a different trajectory. I knew that he deserved everything. And I wanted to be my age.
because I fell in love with God. And I've walked with Him all these years, and I could tell you story and story, day by day, how He is alive and real and walks and talks with us. But I don't see Him like this, but you hear His voice, and He leads you to do things, and He's a rewarder of those who love Him. And I've been rewarded and blessed beyond with it. And I gave Him my life. But in Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, for each and every one of you, like me, I know we haven't done any scriptures, let's do one. Matthew 6:33 says, Jesus is talking to the disciples. And they're obviously worried about their life. I'm sure many of you at this point are wondering, what are you going to do with your life? What is the point of your life? There's a lot of things in a very uncertain world that we all face. And Jesus is talking to his disciples in a very uncertain time, a very uncertain world. And they've left everything to follow Him. He starts teaching them, and he says a number of things. You look at the birds, the air, the flowers, your Father feeds them. Don't worry about your life, what you eat or drink or wear. Your Father knows what you're drinking. And then he says this, but you Christian, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you as well. Jesus said this over and over again, but I love the scripture. What should you and I do? Our priority in life should be to seek first His kingdom, yeah, and secondly to seek, yeah, His righteousness and His righteousness. What's seeking His righteousness? It's trying to become like Him, letting Him change you inside. Yeah. You know, when I first started this walk, it was stop marijuana, stop smoking cigarettes, stop sex with your girlfriend. I've been walking in now for like 30 years. He's still doing things in me, but the thing is, he changes me, he changes my lives, and then he changes me. I want to be like Him more than anything else. Yeah. I want to reflect Him more than anything else. I want everyone who knows me, my wife, my daughter, my dog, my cat. I want everyone in every response that I do, I want to be like Him. Because He is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I don't know anyone like Him. And I've seen His ways are right. His ways bring life. I've seen that sometimes the devil offers us something in the world that says, this is how you're going to find life. And we run after it and we lose our lives. But if we lose our life for His sake, we found that's where true life is. That's where everything fits. That's where life starts to work. And where everything just feels like it's supposed to be. And I have this intimate friendship with Him. I walk with Him. So to become like Him, I would ask you, is that your goal? I mean, what are your goals in life? Why are you here? Why are you sucking oxygen?
Yeah.
One of my friends says, that's an oxygen thief. Somebody needs that oxygen. Why are you here? Your purpose in life is to be like Him. You were created to be like Him. But sin has messed you and me up. And you might not have done what I did, but the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Another scripture in Isaiah says, there's no one righteous. No, not even one. All have turned away and together become worthless. We get broken by sin. We get broken by the things that seem like they're going to give us life, but they give us death. And we start messing up who we are. We mess up the image of God in us. And then Jesus breaks in with love and just says, I died for you. I want to save you. I want to turn your life around. Come to me and you give me your life. Will you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness? And the second thing, while He kind of says it together, is that we seek His kingdom first. I don't know, maybe you're going to be engineers. Nothing wrong with those things. God gives us these things to do. But what is your purpose in life? What is the reason why you woke up? Is it to just get married with kids? No. Well, those are fun. They're nice. They're cool, but that's not it. The purpose in our life is to seek His glory. means to be Christian, basic 101, that you would, by faith, receive the forgiveness that we all need, and then commit yourself to going, God, my purpose in life is I want to be like you, and I want you to get glory. I want my life to somehow give you glory. And that's what I'm living for. If I'm an engineer, I'm going to go into engineering somewhere, but I can give you glory. If I'm a, whatever it is, I'm going to do this so that I, my life can give you glory. And then God says, amazingly, in this thing called the church, it's through the church that I've chosen to give my glory. I was watching you guys tonight. It's sweet. Young people getting up, just, you guys are young to me now. You just say, and just sharing an overflow of Jesus, like what he's doing. And it's beautiful because actually here, you're encouraging the brothers and sisters, you're becoming a community that reflects him. You're becoming what he wants for you, because he wants the world to walk in here and go, oh, is that what you like? Just by looking at us. And he says, this will be my reflection to the principalities and the powers and the rulers and stuff that once held you all captive. And I'm going to take this broken, messed up, and if you don't think you're broken and messed up, you're just really messed up. Because we all are broken by sin. We all are broken by sin. Some of us just outwardly know how to hold it together. And then he's going to use this, us, together, in him and with each other, to show everyone, including the angels, what redemption really looks like. Yeah. What God can do, what only God can do. If you had a day, like I always used to know, I'm sure this is an interesting meeting for you. But I can tell you this. God so loved you. I hope she could. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. Jesus willingly chose to come to this planet to die for my mistakes, the things I've done wrong, the arrogant, selfish, self-centered, sinful things I've done. And that you've done. So that if you would believe in it, you can bring it to your world and start to fix it. And start to prioritize your life, the things that are actually going to give you life. This world is going to promise you a lot of things. I promise you, the only one that gives life is Him.
Amen.
There's nothing else. So I want to give you an opportunity like I had. Because I met him 30 years ago. This is the best thing I ever did. You could rip my nails out, you could poke my eyes out, you could do whatever you wanted to me, you could kill my wife and daughter, you could do anything you wanted, it will not change the fact that I'm his.
Yeah.
I'm his. It's one thing. You could take surfing, you could take my health, you could take everything. He is worthy.
Yeah.
More than I can bring.
Yeah.
So I want to give you an opportunity now to come to him. And some of you are sort of there, but it's like, Come on, why are you on this planet? You get this thing prioritized right, eventually he does do stuff in you that, honestly, if you knew that I would be doing what I'm doing, and at the end of the day, 400 churches, you think, never. Jenny Dunham said this, the girl that witnessed to us. I was the first girl to get saved, my friends. When I got saved, she said to me, Andrew, I thought you couldn't get saved. I pray for the others. You're the last one. But he found me. He saved me. He's given me purpose. He's given me life. Life and lives. I want to give you an opportunity to know. And you know what the amazing thing is? If he died on a cross for me 2,000 years ago, with you in mind, the Bible says before he made the world, he already had you in his mind. He had already planned. He knew. He knew experientially because he's outside of our time. He's gone. If he went to the cross just for you, where do you think he was right now? In this moment. If he came to you every once, where do you think he's right now in this moment with us? Do you not think that if he loves you that much, that he won't be here amongst us tonight? That he won't leave heaven, that he won't leave the angels, he won't say, I will leave the 99, he said this, to Father one. He's here. I met him. 30 years ago, and he's never left me.
Right.
And I know he's here tonight to bring some of you to come into your life, to give you a hope and a purpose. So I'd love to pray with you, and I want to introduce you to him if you don't know him. If you do know him, I'll pray for you afterwards to get to know him better.
Amen.
And I want to give you that opportunity because it is the best and only way you will live. It's the only way you will find life. You can spend the rest of your life sucking up to Jane, and you're going to find life sucks outside of it. Eventually.
Amen.
Up in your old age, when you can no longer do the things you once did, what is the purpose that you would know? It's with closed eyes.
Oh, yes.
And so just in this moment, man, share some of my story. And actually every single one of us should have a story of how God found us. Because we all were lost. We all turned away. There was no one righteous, no one in one. And God saw us in our sin, he saw what we were doing. And he came to seek and save what was lost. And that was you, and that was me. And I know many of us have tried to find ourselves in a lot of things. But at the end of the day, those things are empty. You were made to know him, to be loved by him, and to love him, to become like him, and to give him glory. And if you're here tonight, and you've never given yourself to him this way, you might have been in a church, you might know about the Bible before, but you've never met him. You can never say it. In that day, everything changed. When God made me, and I was made new inside. And he came and put his spirit upon me, and gave me a new heart, changed my desires, and made me new. He wants to do that with you tonight. If you've never had that encounter, never had that experience. And so if you have tonight and you want to give your life to him, you want to know him, you want to turn away from the things the devil has been dangling in front of you and keep you running after like a little slave running after that thing that holds you. You want to turn to him to have life. And life in abundance. And right now I'm going to ask you to respond because he's here for you. Would you lift your hand and say,